A reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The return of the King. This phrase has served as the unifying theme for our midweek Advent services. Each week, through a reading from his first letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, St. Paul has reminded us of the return of the King, the return of our King, the return of Jesus in glory to gather his people, whether alive and waiting or asleep in death, to be with him always. With the return of Jesus in view, St. Paul urged, encourage one another. Encourage one another and build one another up. Today he has more instructions. Indeed, a whole laundry list of them. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Respect, esteem highly, be at peace, admonish, encourage, help, be patient, do not repay evil for evil, always seek to do good, rejoice, pray, give thanks, do not quench, do not despise, test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from evil. There are 17 verbs in that list, and you thought you were busy, that you had a lot to do before. And the adverbs Paul uses can't be overlooked. Always, without ceasing, in all circumstances. How can you possibly accomplish all of these things? And it's not as if any of them is unimportant. There isn't a single one you can strike from the list as not really necessary. What St. Paul says, that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, may apply grammatically to just a few of the items, but it's true of every single one of them. That whole list, and indeed much more, is God's will for you. And I venture to say that in just the past day or two, you failed in the majority of them, if not every one of them. I know I have. So what's a person to do? Well, the baptizer's Advent call is certainly appropriate. Repent. Turn from your sin. Confess your failure and look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's really the only answer. You could try harder. If you did, you might even do a little better. But that wouldn't make up for your failures of yesterday or the day before. And you would only be doing what is required of you. You see, your good deeds cannot offset your past failures. Every one of them remains as a negative entry in your account. Neither will doing better change the fact that no matter how good you do, you will always continue to fall short, that you will inevitably fail to fulfill perfectly God's will for you. So, repentance, confession, and God's forgiveness are the only answer. But is that enough? St. Paul's final words say yes, absolutely. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. God himself is the one who sanctifies you completely, makes you holy inside and out. By his work, he is able to make you and keep you blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to settle any doubt about whether he will or not, St. Paul concludes, "He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it." Try though you might, you are not faithful. If it depended on you, you couldn't do it. But it doesn't depend on you. Your holiness, your righteousness, your blamelessness at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is his doing. And because he is faithful, it is certain he will surely do it. He does it through his word and the sacraments. He does it through those who admonish you and encourage you and help you and are patient with you. He does it through the prophecies, his promises, and the record of in his word of all that he has done for you in Jesus Christ. Our office hymn this morning is a wonderful prayer to Christ. It begins by addressing him through whom all things were made, and without whom was not anything made that was made. Creator of the stars of night, thy people's everlasting light, O Christ, Redeemer, save us all, and hear thy servants when they call. As the unknown poet continues, he reflects on the divine mercy, which identified a generous, gracious healing and cure for the terminal illness of humanity's sin. Thou, grieving that the ancient curse should doom to death a universe, hast found the healing full of grace to cure and save our ruined race. Then the poet goes on to describe that healing, the eternal divine plan to redeem you by the taking on of human flesh and enduring of God's wrath, his righteous wrath against sin in your place, by this very Son of God. Thou camest the bridegroom of the bride, as drew the world to eventide, the spotless victim, all divine, proceeding from a virgin shrine. And because he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, God has highly exalted him, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thus we sang, at whose dread name majestic now all knees must bend, all hearts must bow, all things celestial thee shall own, and things terrestrial, Lord alone. It is this one who created all things, who gave himself for the sin of the world, who rules over all things, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. This powerful and mighty King to whom we now pray, O thou whose coming is with dread to judge the living and the dead, preserve us from the ancient foe, while still we dwell on earth below. Thus to our Advent prayer, come, Lord Jesus, though poet appends three additional petitions. Hear thy servants when they call. Preserve us from the ancient foe while still we dwell on earth below. And O Christ Redeemer, save us all. With Paul's assurance, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. You can rejoice and give thanks as we close our prayer praising the Holy Trinity, God the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, three in one. Praise, honor, might, and glory be from age to age, eternally. Amen. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore.